God is good, isn't he? Man, isn't it great to worship? Yeah, all the time. God is always good. You know, the victory of the resurrection is that Jesus Christ, as we were praying and as we were singing, Jesus Christ has defeated sin and death. So I'm just going to clue you in. This is a very much participation-oriented service, all right? So Jesus Christ has defeated sin and death. Praise the Lord. We say praise the Lord. Yes. So there's two things that Scripture makes so clear that we can't overcome. One is sin and one is death. They trip us up every time. In fact, our sin leads to death. So when that stone rolls away from the tomb and Jesus comes marching out of that tomb, here's the testimony. Well, when I hung on that cross, your sin was upon me. I took the weight of the world's sin upon my shoulders. In fact, I became sin on that cross. Yet sin itself can't keep me in the grave. Isn't that awesome? It's conquered. It's conquered. So here's the other part of the testimony. When he comes walking out of that tomb, even death is defeated. Hell had me in its clutches right where it wants me. But I've conquered sin and I've conquered death. So let's say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, church, let's understand this. The shackles of sin and death that hold us as human beings are broken through the power of Christ Jesus on the cross and on his resurrection. Now, this is something that is personal. It's not just personal to me. It's personal for us. We're not talking about a story that was told 2,000 years ago or some ancient history figure. We're talking about a Lord that is alive and well and wants to be with us right here. So on the victory of the cross is that he's conquered sin and death. The glory of the resurrection for you and me is that God wants to call you and me out of the grave. He wants to call us out of death and into life. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, so let's say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now here's the kicker of it all. I didn't realize that I was living in the grave until God called me out of it. So there could be those of us that are in here today, you don't know that you're living in the grave. The Lord wants you to have freedom and joy in Christ Jesus this morning. Now, I got a question for you. Do you want to live your life in the grave? Okay, some of you didn't know you should answer that question. Okay. We don't wake up in life and say, oh man, I just think it's going to be like death for me all day today, right? Do you want to live your life in the grave?
No.
Now, do you want to live your life in a way that has regret for saying, man, I wish the power of God had been with me and worked in that whole circumstance? Do you want to live your life with that regret? No. Yeah, that wasn't as confident, was it? No, we don't want to do that. I want you to flip over your bulletin. On the back, on the message notes there, at the very top, is a very blatantly placed glued Lego, okay? Everybody has something written on their Lego. Could you tell me what is written on your Lego? Everybody got the same Lego, okay? We all have the same thing. I want you to look at that and realize this. The call of God upon your life is a building block for your life. It's a building block for you. How did Christ rise from the dead? Well, he woke up, put his feet on the ground by the power of God, which was in him and in him. The tomb was rolled away and he marched out. So that might not be the best model for us. That's Christ rising from the dead. How did Lazarus rise from the dead? Jesus called him out, didn't he? Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. God wants to call you from death to life. This is a building block for your life. It's the beginning. You see, the call clarifies, am I living by the power of sin and death, or am I living by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Now, I'll tell you something. I love blocks. Our firstborn is a son, and I was just so excited when he was born because I knew Daddy's going to have some block playtime. I mean, that was in the back of my head, right? And so, when you're 2 and 3 years old, you build towers. It's what you do. And we would get together on the floor of his room. We would see who could build the biggest tower. I always had the biggest tower, by the way. It was a daddy thing. I don't know what happened there. And it was great. But let's assume that the blocks that we encounter in life are all of the big things in life, right? Maybe this is having children. Maybe this is being married. Maybe one of them is simply just the music that you listen to on a daily basis, because it occurs to me that the major things that we encounter in life and we go through have the opportunity to be building blocks for our life, which spring us into the next thing that we need to do. Or they have the opportunity to be stumbling blocks, don't they? To trip us up, to put our face in the gutter, to make us live as if we were still living in the grave. See, a lot of you in this room have been called by God. You've been called to come out by the power of Jesus Christ and live in his resurrection, yet your life still resembles death. It still resembles the grave, because it's somewhere along the way we've lost the voice of the Lord and we've gotten tripped up in the blocks that are ahead of us in this life. Others of you in this room are looking at me and you're saying, Jonathan, I don't know what you're talking about. God's voice calling me. He couldn't call me. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1. The Lord says this, in the year that King Uzziah died. I love that name, Uzziah. I haven't seen it in the church lately, but it's a good one, okay? He's also called Azariah. In the year that King Azariah, Uzziah died, what's important about this king? He was a good king. He reigned for 52 years over the nation of Judah. So that means that this is a secure, confident kingdom of God right here. When you're in year 50 of somebody's reign, you pretty much know what's coming up in year 51. At that point, there's just a security, there's a comfort. Now, the Bible tells us that Isaiah recorded all the events of Uzziah's life. So what happens in the year that King Uzziah died? Suddenly, there is uncertainty in Isaiah's life that has never been there before. God, what's the next king going to be like? Who is going to be the next king? Are we going to be defeated by our enemies now that they see a weakness? See, some of you in here, you think, well, God's not going to call me because my life is a mess. First of all, you're right. Your life is a mess. My life is a mess. But don't you realize that God does his best work with the mess? It's what he does. It's what makes the resurrection so amazing, because the mess of our lives, that's death in the grave. That's our sin. That's what it does for us. It holds us captive in death. But the resurrection sets us free from that stuff. So God, you could say, is looking for the mess, to call you out of it, to give you new life. Now, look at what Isaiah does. When he's in the mess, he doesn't sulk. He's not crying in his soup about, oh, God, why didn't you give us a king that could live forever? He's not saying things like that. He's seeking God. But our response so many times when we get into the difficulties, when the blocks of this life trip us up, is to sulk about it, isn't it? God, why couldn't you give me a wife that likes me, right? God, how come my job couldn't be easier? It's because it's called work. It's not called joy, right? It's for a reason that it's hard. God, how come my life isn't easier? How come I can't have a money tree in the backyard? We sulk and we cry and we whine about different stuff. It's not what Isaiah was doing. He was seeking God. You see, those of us that would focus on the problems and would stay sulking, guess what? You're going to stay in the grave. But those who would cry out to God, God, I need you. God, where are you? Be with me. God's looking for you to get a hold of your life. I want you to look at that Lego again on the back of your bulletin. Now, what kind of terrible parent would I be if I gave my son one Lego, right? Gee, Dad, thank you. You know, Is there a financial shortage in our household these days? What's going on? You don't give them one Lego, do you? Because Legos are meant to be linked together, aren't they? And when you look at this Lego, I want you to realize that you are created to be linked together with God. You are created to be joined together with the rest of the church, with those who are around you, to run this race in perseverance together. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, this is in the temple of the Lord, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Oh, can you imagine this scene? You imagine, if you will, for just a moment, that during the week your life is so difficult that on Wednesday you realize, I got to come up here to the church building. I don't know why you would say that, but I got to come up here to the church building just to get my life right. And even though nobody else is here with you, you find yourself making your way through those double doors, and there's no chairs in the room, there's nothing else in the room, but you fall flat down on your face before the Lord. You say, God, how I need you. God, I can't do this anymore without you. I have to have you come into my life to change some things that are in my life. And as you're crying out to the Lord, you get up on your knees and you look up, expecting to see the ceiling, but the ceiling is God. But instead of there being no ceiling, it's not the blue sky above you or the clouds that you see, but suddenly you realize I'm caught up in another place, that it's the throne of God that is above me. And God, in all of his majesty, in all of his glory, in all of his might, is seated on that throne right above you. And with your eyes fastened on it, with a fear that grips you all the way to the insides and shakes your bones, you don't want to keep your eyes on the throne, but you can't get them off either. God, this is the most amazing thing that I've ever seen, yet something is distracting you along the side. And God, I don't want to take my eyes off, but I've got a glance to the right or to the left. What is that going around me? And you look to the left and you look to the right and you realize it's the train of God's robe. It's surrounding me. It's encircling me. It's on the floor beneath me. See, in Uzziah's day, a king would show off by the length of the train on their robe. And if a king had many victories, the train of his robe would be extra long. So you know when you came into the dominion of a great king and saw the length of his robe, wow, this guy is somebody who's not to be trifled with. How powerful is our God that the train of his robe fills the temple. It's all around me. Can you see Isaiah on the floor looking up and crying out, God, I don't know who's going to be on the throne. I don't know. Oh, you're on the throne. You never left your place upon the throne. I am secure in you. Now above Isaiah stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two wings, he covered his face, and with two, he covered his feet, and with two, he flew. And he called to another, and he said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house, that is the temple, was filled with smoke. Man, what a worship service, right? These seraphim are crying out and they're calling out to the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Now we got to practice just a minute to understand this. So I'm going to divide you into sections. All right. This section right here, these two sections, we're going to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Are you ready? One's ready. All right. Y'all are ready. Here we go. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Is that what you got, really? Guys, I don't think they were quite ready. Is this section, though, y'all are the ones, all right? Are you ready? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Here we go. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Man, this is God Almighty that we're talking about here. Middle section, I need you, all right? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Here we go. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Boy, y'all got some things to learn. People on either side, right? Man, can you hear the sound that would be deafening? Guys, we got to stand up. We got to do a better job. Let's stand up. So when I point to you, I want you to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Okay, here we go. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is, here we go. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Here we go. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Let's do it all together. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Praise the Lord. God is holy, right? Praise the Lord. Why don't you be seated? Wow. What a worship service. What an amazing thing to be caught up in, to see. Now, Revelation 4:8 gives greater insight into this very worship service that we're seeing right now. It says that these seraphim were covered with eyes all over their body. I just love that. That is awesome. I don't know what it means, but it's really cool. This worship service for us, church, is a model of unity and trust in God. Now, I have a confession for those of you who are new. I'm a big nerd. Everybody else knows that already. So I just want to have some nerd fun for a second, okay? And you might want to write a few of these things down. There's three numbers that we see throughout this passage. Number 6, anytime we see that in Scripture, it's the number of man. See, the number 3, when we see that in Scripture, it's the number of divine, of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Whenever you see number 2, in a good way, it's a number of union, two things becoming one. When it's used in a bad way, it's a number of disunity, of one thing becoming two. This is a very good way. You see, this worship service is for you and me right here. It's for God, but it's for us to observe and understand worship. See, these 6 wings, that should be a trigger to us. Man's number, these 6 wings are divided into thirds. Math majors, 2, 2, and 2. Because when we worship God, what is man's enters under God's authority. We shouldn't be able to tell where does God begin and where does our life begin and end. That's what happens in worship. We get caught up one and the same with the Lord. With 2 wings, they cover their face. What a show of reverence for us before God. With 2 wings, they cover their face, bringing into union with God their eyes, their head, what they speak out of their mouth, what they hear with their ears. And in worship, these things come under the authority of God. With 2 wings, they cover their feet. What a display of holiness of our God, bringing union with God to the very will that we would set out to walk and pattern our lives after. Oh, in worship, God, may my feet walk after the very place that your feet would go. And with 2 wings, they fly around. They do the work of God. We're going to see that work in just a minute. Now, they don't work as if they're working for man. They're working for God, aren't they? And in worship, that's what happens. Lord, it's not just a job. It's not just a family. It's not just my life. This is for you. Now, do you realize this? So these seraphim are shouting, holy, holy, holy. And everything is shaking and the temple is filling with smoke. And they shout, holy, holy, holy. In theologic terms, it's called the trisagion. You don't need to know that. It's just a very fun word to say. But it's for God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is all over the place right here. Can you imagine this scene? I mean, the roof has been removed. God's throne is there. The train of his robe is filling the temple around us. And I want to keep my eyes on the throne, but I have to reach up my hands and cover my ears because this holy, holy, holy is deafening to me. And the temple is shaking around me and smoke is filling up this room in which I dwell. Now, church, when we worship God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, this is the worship service that we step into. This is the throne room of God. Now, some of you don't see it yet. But this is the presence of God. When we're saying, Lord, I need you. Holy, 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 in the Revelation song, we're crying out, I'm alive in you, God. We're stepping into this scene. We're being caught up with God in this scene because God deserves our worship. Well, he alone is worthy. I want you to look at that Lego. Go on and look at it. And I want you to remember this when you look at it. You are not alone. Some of you feel like you can't be called by God because you're stuck being alone. You're not alone. God is on his throne. God is still all powerful. God is worthy of worship. You worship him in such a way as Isaiah is demonstrating for us today. Now, I wish we could just hang out here. It would be my plan. But unfortunately, in the worship of God, this is where a lot of us derail. The trains come off the track right here for so many of us. See, when Isaiah gets caught up in this midst, this is what he says, woe is me. All right, that's ancient Hebrew for, okay. Just want you to know what Isaiah is saying here. He's desperate. Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Wow. Church, there's only one Lord, only one God upon his throne, only one Savior, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. So I have news for you. You can't follow the call of other things and the call of God at the same time. You can't do it. It doesn't work. It's bad every single time. Woe is me, Isaiah cries. Now, I don't want to get a show of hands of who in this room has unclean lips, but this is where I really have the problem, okay? Because unclean lips are not even really on my radar of problems that I have between me and God. Do you say the same thing? Right? I see these big things. God, here the big thing. Unclean lips are like, I'll just get to that later, right? After I deal with this other stuff. So many of us feel that way, right? But here Isaiah is saying, I'm a person of unclean lips. I live in the midst of people of unclean lips. It's a problem still. But our train comes off the tracks right here because this is where we start hearing other voices. This is where a block that should be the voice of God in our life and should be a building block for the rest of our life becomes a stumbling block because we start hearing voices that say, Jonathan, your unclean lips aren't so bad. Jonathan, God knows your sin. It's okay. Jonathan, your sin is better than your neighbor's sin. All of those statements could be true. It doesn't change the fact that sin is sin. It's a problem. We're not comparing ourselves to other people. We're in the presence of God and his holiness and his majesty. That's where I have to be dealt with. And when I was in high school, I was on the drama team. And I lived in between Burnet and Lampasas. That's right next to the middle of nowhere, if anybody is looking for it on a map. So one night after our drama performance, we had the whole drama team come out so we could play hide and seek. Oh, you know, when you're a teenager, you know, it's hide and seek. It's not like the little kid hide and seek. It was really a manly deal. And so, there's no street lamps in between Burn and Lampasas. If there's not a full moon, you can't see, which makes hide and seek great because there's cactuses, there's thorn bushes, algerita bushes. It's just awesome. Snakes. And so we're getting out there to play. And I'm sorry. My parents at the time, we have an antenna on a roof. Kids, that's what you used to have in the middle of nowhere to power a TV. It got four channels, and on the good days, they were a little bit fuzzy. It was nice. You'd climb up there. That's another story in itself. But the antenna was so high because we had no reception that my father made guy wires that come down from the antenna and attach to the ground. So we're playing hide and seek. I mean, we're going crazy playing. And there are these three guys that are running back to back to back. I mean, maybe 5 feet in between each one. And they're just the full sprint because somebody's chasing them. And the first guy, he's running and he's kind of looking over his shoulder and he hits that guy wire right below his knees. It was so awesome. This guy, it's like Superman. I mean, he goes forward. I mean, rocks, weeds, dirt, just scraping along his face. Well, so the guy that's behind him, that's following him, he's smart, right? Trouble right here. Okay, you know, and he's still running full speed. Well, he catches the guy wire right on his waist right here. I mean, it's like Wile E. Coyote and some Bugs Bunny thing. He just goes like this, and then he gets sucked back and thrown back, just flat on his back. It was so cool. It was really neat to watch it. Well, here's the third guy, you know, and we're smart people. We adapt to our environment. This is what we do, right? Danger, danger. Okay. He turns to the right. He runs, and I'm not exaggerating. He catches the guy wire right here on his throat. And his feet just come out in front, and he lays on his back, and all three of them are just there going, you know. And thankfully, it was at the beginning of lawsuit happy times, but my dad for like 2 years was worried, you know, we're going to get a letter in the mail, we're going to be sued. What good does it do when the blind people follow the blind people? When we listen to these other voices that are calling out our name, what good does it do when we listen to those? Oh, there's danger here. Okay, whoa. How's that working for you, right? Not good. If we don't choose to say, God, your voice or nothing else, or what danger lies in store and lies in wait for us, then one of the seraphim flew to me. And I just want to mention this. See, God wants Isaiah to speak his words for him, doesn't he? Why does he choose a person with unclean lips? Boy, hear this and be encouraged, church, because God wants his glory to be manifested in you and I. He wants his glory to be praised in us. Look at your mess that you're living in. God wants to use that for his glory. I love this. See, one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. It was too hot to hold, and he touched my mouth with it, with a live burning coal, and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Well, I can hardly even imagine what that must have been like for Isaiah. I know most of you, as well as me, have burned our hand or our fingers or our arm at one point in our life. It's not good. I can still feel the pain of when that's happened to me. Can you hear the sound of your skin sizzling on your lips? You smell the smell of the flesh burning in your nose. And I look at Isaiah and I think, God, if he needed a coal upon his lips, do I need to be tossed into the whole pit of burning coals? That's what I deserve. The Lord says, no, Jonathan, but the perfect spotless lamb, who is my son, Jesus Christ, is going to be beaten and mocked and shamed and nailed to a wooden cross so that I can pour out my wrath upon him so that you can live in a freedom of my life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, and you get this in the passage, this is the first time we've heard the voice. The whole time we've been talking about the call, but this is the first time we've heard the voice, right? You know why we stumble as Christians so many times? Because we have this great experience with God. Whoa, God, it was worship and it was great. Where's the water pistol? I'm going after hell. Woo! And we just run out, don't we? Instead of waiting on the power of God to go before us and lead the way. Why do we stumble and fall? It's no wonder. Guys, we need to wait on the voice of the Lord to send us forth. Man, some of you in this room, if this is all the worship that you're getting is on a Sunday morning, no wonder we can't hear the voice of the Lord. Some of you in this room, if this is all the Bible that you're getting here on Sunday morning, no wonder we can't hear the voice of the Lord. No wonder you think he's not calling me. Some of you need to go home and consume this book from cover to cover. Some of you need to go home and get on your face before the Lord and just worship him. Let's get to know this amazing God. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." Can you imagine how difficult it would be for Isaiah to utter these words after a live burning coal has been upon his lips? I imagine it took every ounce of strength and courage in his mind to say, "Here am I, send me, Lord, send me." Yet God's call for us is exactly the same as it was in Isaiah's day. He's still looking out for hearts that are crying out to him, that are leaving the ways of this world, that say, "This isn't what life is about. I need something else," and turning to him for him to cry out and say, "Whom can I send? Who will go for us?" What would keep us from standing up and saying, "Lord, here am I. God, send me"? Well, maybe it's pride in our lives. I want to call my own shots. Maybe it's fear, right? We're afraid. "God, if I follow you, then I'm going to mess up. God, if I go out there and I proclaim the name of Jesus, I'm going to misrepresent you at some point." Maybe we're just afraid that we're going to fail. But didn't we already say in the resurrection, Jesus defeated sin and he defeated death? What do you have to be afraid of? "Oh, I messed up." Hey, Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated this very thing that I messed up on. Praise the Lord. I'm going to keep going. That's the power of the resurrection. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of death? Are you afraid of somebody's power to send you to be with Jesus in an eternity? Yes, Lord. You know, thank you, Jesus. What can they do to me? Fear is crippled because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And God looked at Isaiah. He said, "Go." He said, "Go." You see, when God calls us, he equips us. God is about to download in Isaiah's heart a message to take to the people. He equips us and he sends us out. When we go with the Lord, we keep our feet moving. Our words become action of God. Boy, God is awesome. You know, I told you earlier that I love to build blocks and love to build towers. But what I've known in following the Lord is that God doesn't do things the way that I do them. You know, I see perfect towers and I see, "God, this is the way that I want to arrange my life and this is what I think would be best." But when God gets a hold of my life, he does something different. He says, "Jonathan, there's a way that I can receive more glory and more praise and more people will come and follow me if you would pattern your life after me." So instead of just stacking things one on top of the other, I just want you to put things in a way that my power can be on display, all right? So I know that this looks strange. This doesn't look like what you want, but you're just going to be able to release your hands and let me do the work. "Well, okay, God, but it really doesn't know. I don't think it's, are you sure?" "Yes, I'm sure. As long as you keep me as the capstone of your life, then everything will make sense. Listen for my voice. Listen for my call." Church, you realize this: through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, sin and death are defeated. You can rise up. You can walk in the freedom of God. You can hear the voice of the Lord. You can follow him. Father, how we praise you and we thank you for this morning. May we walk in the power that the cross and the resurrection have afforded us through Jesus Christ. May we give you all the glory along the way. God, what a great day that you rose from the dead, and we give you praise, God. May your victory over death and sin be ever present in our life. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.